Welcome to episode 382, Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is our urge to explore the world and make the connections that can only be made through experiences. My name is Lindsay, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Laura, Elizabeth, Donna, and George. Hotlanta, as it's known far and wide, was not so hot when Outlander Travelers own Robin Van Dong recently went there. In fact, it snowed. Oh, that was fun, I bet. Robin and her family were traveling to Atlanta for a theater conference and got a little time to check out the city. So welcome, Robin. We love you and we missed you.
Thank you.
So good to actually get to see your face. So how was Atlanta? You were there for a theater event?
So my son was in a junior theater festival. And we were, for the majority of the weekend, we were in a conference center, but we did get out the first day. The three of us went to a museum, and then the second day, Russ and I went to some restaurants near Truist Park, and it was, it had been a while since I had gone there, and I definitely would like to go back.
So I know that you flew into Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, right? Did you take that amazing transportation to downtown?
No. We ended up just taking a lift. We had luggage with us, and we did not want to take that on the train. Yeah. So we just took a lift over to the hotel, and then we took another lift to downtown and started wandering around a little bit.
So that's one thing about Atlanta is there's downtown and then there's the rest of Atlanta where people actually live. And it's a lot, right? So were you way outside of the city, the main city?
We were at the Atlanta Marriott Northwest at Galleria. So we were not far from Truist Park. So it was about 20, 25 minutes to get downtown. Yeah, but we wanted to at least see something while we were in Atlanta. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other than the hotel and the conference center.
You mentioned some restaurants. So I'm dying of curiosity to know what you ate. Because Atlanta is, to me, one of the best food cities in the US.
Went to there's this area near Truist Park called the Battery, with it's an entertainment and dining area. There's apartments, there's this really cool area, and we went to this Jewish deli because you know that's something the that
oh I love like. Me a good Jewish deli.
Yeah, so we went to this place called Goldberg's. It was very good. And then we found out later on that there's actually, they have like a small one in part of the airport. It wasn't in the part of the airport we were in, so it didn't matter, but it was really good. And it's really cool because what they do is they have this one area where they put a bar outside. So they have this, you know, window area, and we could see the bar inside. And I guess what they do is during game nights or game days, they put this bar port outside, so people are sitting and they have big screens all over to watch the game. So the food was very good, and we had fun going there and walked around a little bit more. There's so many restaurants. So if you're ever going to a game there, there's plenty of places to eat.
So did you get at the Jewish deli?
I think I got a hamburger. Yes, I know. I got a hamburger at the Jewish deli, but we won't even go into that.
Look, I'm impressed that it wasn't a chicken breast, okay?
So did you see this? Did you know about it and decide to go there? Or did you just stumble upon it and go, ooh, a Jewish deli, I want to go there?
So we were trying to figure out where to go to eat because Ian was hanging out with kids in the hotel. And we just started looking, you know, Atlanta, we were looking around the area and Russ found the Battery area. So we started looking at what the restaurants were and I said, ooh, a Jewish deli. So.
There's like a famous, and I cannot remember the name of it. I know I've eaten at Mary Mac's and I've eaten at a ton of places in Atlanta. And Mary Mac's used to be known for giving you a massage while you're you need it to get that food down because it's really good Southern comfort food. Like it's putting on the calories.
If you're a first timer there, they bring you the pot liquor from the turnip greens for you to drink.
Yeah.
At Mary Mac's.
It's a great experience. It's like
but we're never gonna get George to move south if you talk like that.
Is it called the Varsity? Do you know?
It's a hamburger.
The Varsity Diner. And then I had this, oh my gosh, I had this burger at this one place that I can't remember. It's been a couple of years. I got to go back to Atlanta. So what else did you see anything else? Or do you have any time to see anything else while you're there?
We were trying to go to one, you know, really different thing, something we couldn't find other places we had been. And I found the National Center for Civil and Human Rights.
Yep.
Oh, awesome. Which is right across from the aquarium. It's like in the same compound as the aquarium and the World of Coke.
Is that the Carter Center? Okay.
I'm not sure.
Well, I thought it was called the Carter Center.
But this opened in 2014, mm-hmm. and it's amazing. They have one area where you sit and they tell you to close your eyes and you have like earbuds in and you're sitting at a counter and it's supposed to be like the counter where they did the sit-in. And supposed to see if you could sit there. Like there were two girls, next to us and they had to take them off and walk away because I mean people are sitting it, you know, you're listening to it and they're yelling at you and they're calling you names and it was very, very moving. And it was things about all of these different people to do with civil and human rights. It was just they did have one thing that I didn't want to go near because they had a villains area and they had a full size thing of Adolf Hitler. And I didn't even want to go near it. I just went to the other side or walked around it. There were some really neat things, some LGBTQ. There was a lot about I just went blank and my son's going to be laughing at me. There's a lot about Martin Luther King Jr. He is the focal point of it. And it was just really, really eye-opening. And if you ever get the next time you get to Atlanta, I would definitely say to go. And if you have kids, especially teenagers, bring them because it really something that they need to hear stuff like this. Instead of learning about it in school, it's much more, it makes a bigger impact being there.
Mm-hmm. It's an immersive compassion, mm-hmm. Compassion experience.
It is. And they say that, you know, it takes about 2 hours to go through the whole thing. And that's about the time that we took. And then, of course, we went to the gift shop because my family does not go any place without going to the gift shop.
Disney fan, you can tell.
Your family is not the only family that does this.
Oh, my God.
You've been trained.
Anywhere we go. My parents do this. Well, don't you want something from the gift shop? Okay, you know, but this place, it was neat. We got Russ and Ian both got shirts and we got Oliver a magnet or a pin with a pride flag on it. And it was It was a really great place to go visit, especially with Ian being 17. I think the impact, he understood it and he got it, and it really made a big impact on him.
Yeah, there's a Joetta Cole spoke at Spelman College, which is a predominantly or historically Black college here. Mm-hmm. And she, at the end of one of her graduation speeches, this was many years ago, she said a quote that she said was, I am for differences, for accepting differences and encouraging differences until differences don't make any difference. And they used to have shirts there that said that on there. So I just think that that's profound. It's one of the people,
there were so many sayings from different people, you know, men, women, people of color. I mean, it was just really, really interesting.
And it's right there at the World of Coke. That's a little bit of a
discussion. Right across, like, we got dropped off by the lift and we had to sort of walk around, and we look up and we're like, oh, there's the aquarium. There's the World of Coke.
But it does make it kind of nice because you can do to all those things. And if you're taking a group of people, you know, like if you have a group of people, not everybody may want to go to experience that, but you may have some. So it does make it really nice. And I think all of it's pretty near Grant Park, which is another kind of great meeting area. That's right.
Isn't CNN right there too? Isn't CNN there in that
CNN center?
So I thought, yeah.
Yeah, there were kids playing Frisbee and ball in between everything. It was a Friday afternoon. So I think by the time we got there, kids were probably out of school, and it was nice. It's nice to start doing all of these things again that, you know, we couldn't do for so long, and being able to go into places and travel, and, you know, it's just, the more we do things like that, the more normal things feel.
One of the things that I was watching a webinar on the other day is how the whole, like, this is where you guys are going to know terminology and I'm not, but it's the, you know,
the VR goggles.
Yep. I have to call them the virtual reality experience things, but that whole technology that was originally made for games for kids is being used a lot around compassion. And there's now a program that you can put in there for someone to experience what it's like for somebody who's experiencing, hearing voices and being afraid all the time. And it's that same kind of to walk in the shoes as close as you can get to walk in the shoes of somebody who's hearing, you know, to walk in the shoes of someone who's sat at that thing and been heckled and made fun of and berated. It's like to walk in the shoes of someone who is hearing, be afraid, they're after you, whatever, you know, it's that whole thing. And I just think that's it's a profound way for people to experience kind of where other people have been. So, Lindsay, the next time you go to Atlanta, eat breakfast at the Flying Biscuit.
Oh. The Flying Biscuit? Okay. I have to go back, and I had a whole list. It's been quite a while, sadly. Probably about 8, maybe longer than 10 years since I've been to Atlanta.
I think there's one in Charlotte now too, but it's originally from...
There's one here.
There
too.
From Atlanta.
There's one here.
There was one here.
Yep.
I take my mother every time she comes to visit.
Oh, the Vortex. That's what I was trying to remember. I bought a glass so I would remember, which honestly has got to be the most genius thing I've ever done when I eat someplace that's amazing that has any type of souvenir that you can keep forever. It's the only way I'm ever going to remember. That's the best burger to date that I've ever had in my life. And it's had like this jalapeno jelly and cream cheese. Oh, it was the best burger. Although my gallbladder was 10 years younger then, so.
I think Atlanta is so interesting to me too, because growing up in the South, I mean, as we're coming out of the COVID era, I think people are still tending to look to travel domestically for a little bit longer if they don't want to fly or what have you. And Atlanta is one of those cities, I mean, like, that it's that place. The best example I can give is I grew up 75 miles away from UNC Chapel Hill. Michael Jordan was there when I was a kid. And so when it came time for me to pick a university, I suddenly realized that this was actually a university and not just a basketball team. And I think Atlanta is one of those places where I suddenly realize it's a city and not just an airport. Like, I always fly through Atlanta. That's, it's, you know, if you live in the South, and you die when, whether you're going,
you're
to heaven
fly
or hell,
through Atlanta.
Change it in Atlanta. That's just the way it goes. So I don't even, you know, it's amazing how much that city has to offer. And I don't know that it gets touristed as much. You know, people tend to go for business or for conventions and things. And it really is a destination you could go as a family vacation if you aren't, you know, if you don't need a beach. And actually, if you want mountains, it's not far. So
Stone Mountain. Not far from there.
Yep.
And so, the infrastructure that they put in, because it's such a hot spot for business, is actually amazing. And even though it's been 10 years, I was blown away when I flew in and was able to just get on the train and go right to my hotel. And I didn't the transportation and the ease of transportation in that city, I would say easily got to be top four cities in the U.S. to get around with ease of use. If we had that in
with
Seattle.
With public transportation. Because if you're driving, everyone's on the street and the highways loop. There's like
285
bowl stuff. It's awful. It really is awful. So definitely, this ain't no New York City where everything's like gridded out. It is not.
No. Yeah, it is not fun to drive.
We drove there a few years ago to look at some colleges, and I totally agree with Elizabeth. It was just, even just finding parking, and the parking was so expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honestly, even with a GPS, I mean, the first time I drove to Atlanta, I was in college. So this is before internet maps. Like, we were using AAA triptychs, and it's like, turn right on Peachtree, turn left on Peachtree.
Yeah, but there's like four different Peachtrees.
Right. They're all like literally every street in Atlanta. And anyone in Atlanta will get that joke. I mean, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, it's true. I mean, it really is true. The street names never change and you have no point of reference. And the highways are really, really intimidating. And a lot of people do live, like, Atlanta is really big. Downtown is pretty small, but the area of Atlanta. So if you're going for business, make sure you know where you're going, because if you think you're going to be downtown, you might not be. You might be out in the outskirts and they'll call it Atlanta. And it's really,
and just because a hotel says downtown on it.
Yeah.
And that's where downtown.
We were not in downtown.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So did you go to the World of Coke? That was my favorite place when I went.
Okay. We didn't go for a number of reasons.
You don't like Coke.
You drink Pepsi.
I don't drink Coke.
If it was World of Pepsi, I probably would have gone.
And if we had had more time, we probably would have gone to the aquarium. Because I love aquariums.
I've done the aquarium and World of Coke, and they were fun. But what you did sounds way more appealing and interesting to me. And
the funnest thing to me about World of Coke is the very end, where you get to taste their products from all over the world. And it's you recognize what country has the sweet tooth.
Well, the biggest thing is the diversity of Coke, and how I loved walking through there and seeing all the old advertisements and everything, and how it has become a global brand, and a lot of the charitable work that they do.
That's honestly, this is going to be a really weird connection, but I think it's true, and you guys will probably be able to back me up. I went to the World of Coke when I was like 21. I went to the Heineken experience in Amsterdam many, 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 like a few decades later. And then soon after that, the Guinness experience in Dublin. And it's very similar. It's about the drink itself, but more than that, it's about the advertising. It's about the way that brand grew and how they grew that brand. And a lot of it is the marketing, and not really about at the end, there's a tasting at all three places. At Heineken, they teach you how to pour a Heineken correctly. At Guinness, they teach you how to pour Guinness correctly. You taste one. At Coke, you don't have to pour it correctly, but you get that sort of, you know, that's a product where you get a variety. Heineken is Heineken.
You get a bottle of Coke, a little mini.
Yeah, and the gift shop is fantastic. I mean, like, all this stuff, you could get really retro with it. They've got stuff sort of representing the all of the decades of Coke marketing. So I think that's where it gets interesting, though. It's all about that sort of the message mm-hmm. and what the message has been. And Coca-Cola has had some of the most, amazing ads. I mean, it's right up there. Yeah. Budweiser also has a similar experience, but we don't talk about Budweiser because it's not really beer. But
I would say, is it the most recognized brand in the world, Coca-Cola?
Yes.
I think it's in every country.
But they had their flops too. I mean, we all remember New Coke.
New Coke, yes, we do. But that's the thing, we all remember it. So was it a flop?
That is true.
We all remember it. So yeah, I'm sorry you didn't get to do that. You'll have to go back and do that. Even though you're a Pepsi drinker, you don't have to taste the drink.
Okay.
You just have to see the market.
As long as I don't have to taste it, then I'm
yeah,
okay.
No, I won't force you to do that.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've gone to wineries and I haven't tasted the wine or only tasted one or two. So I totally get that.
I mean, it's totally worth it just to meet the bear.
Mm-hmm. The aquarium that's next door is one of the only aquariums that has whale sharks too.
Yeah. You have a limited amount of time and you have to pick and choose. And
I'm thinking about just last year, we as a team were in Atlanta for a little day conference and we didn't go because we were outside of Atlanta. We didn't go do anything while we were there except for go to one pizza place. So,
yeah, I think the first time I went to Atlanta, I went to Six Flags and then we went to a bunch of other stuff, but none of it was what I did on the longer work trip I was there for. Because you're right, it's such a segmented I mean, you can visit Atlanta and never really still visit Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Actually, I feel really fortunate because when I went to Atlanta when I was 21, it was for job interviews after college. And so we were downtown, like they had a university sponsored event and it was downtown at a bank. So I was there. That's where we were going. But I haven't seen the downtown of Atlanta since then, and I've been to Dragon Con. I guess Dragon Con is downtown, but again, you're in those three hotels and you're nerding out.
I got to be there in 96 when the Olympics was there.
Oh, fun.
Except I have two younger sisters and a younger brother, and my sister's 18 months younger than me, speaks four languages. And it was kind of like our worlds came together. Because she was a volunteer at the Paralympics for the French equestrian team. And I was on my way back from Rwanda. Well, actually from Zaire, but from doing a Rwandan refugee thing. And I stopped in Atlanta to spend time with her. And so I got to go with her to the practices. And then because she was a volunteer, they gave her two tickets to opening ceremony for the Paralympics.
Nice.
And the master of ceremonies or the special guest that year was Christopher Reeves.
Oh, wow.
Who was newly in his power chair and kind of with his vent, and his little boy was like 6 or 7 at that point. So it came around and he spoke and welcomed the athletes. And then the athlete who brought the flame was a double amputee, and he scaled the tower with one arm and held the flame with another and then handed it off to somebody and they lit the flame.
Wow.
It was the most, I can't go by the whole Olympic Park now without kind of that all washing over me all over again. So.
Those are really nice in the summer because they have the fountains going and you'll see the kids out there playing and it's like a splash pad in the middle of downtown.
And that's kind of a treasure in itself of diversity and of remembering and of, is that whole Olympic experience. And as you remember, there was controversy around those games. And so it's like people forget that Atlanta hosted the Olympics and it sits right there in the belly of that. So there's, there's all the big, the Six Flags and the, the big, like, I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going to see the Braves. I'm going to, do all that. But there's also some really, incredible stuff that kind of can shape you and make you think in different ways. So I love that about Atlanta.
Atlanta has a big music scene too, especially rap music, but it really does have Outkast is from Atlanta. There's a huge, and Elton John lived in it, not to be singing Elton John and rap in the same sentence is a little weird, but Elton John was there and started the AIDS Foundation there as well. So, I mean, it's definitely been home to some major talent. All the Marvel movies ever since Iron Man 3 are made in Georgia. Up until Iron Man 3, they were made in North Carolina, but our governor isn't very good to the movie industry. So
yeah, I was going
to
say they have a big film industry there.
They do. They do.
Big film industry. Perry's new studios.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember
the largest studios?
You remember Billy Penix, Laura?
Yeah.
He's a working actor in Atlanta.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. He's been in a lot of films. Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine from North Carolina, a director, actually moved there to help with one of the film schools there. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And our recent episodes you can find on YouTube. We would love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us, Robin. Thank you so much for tuning in. Gotta fly.